Hey, Caitlin.
Hey.
Have you ever wanted to turn something that you really enjoy doing into your full-time job so much that you and your significant other quit your full-time jobs without really having any idea what you're doing?
Yep.
That's the intro. I'm kind of standardizing on like the Hey, Caitlin intro.
Yeah, you caught me off guard because I didn't realize you were already recording us. I was waiting for you to push the button. And that's why I was just like, hey.
You didn't even say hi, Evan,
I
back.
know,
You
I'm
don't even know
sorry.
who I am.
I was just caught so off guard.
Hi, everybody. So today we're going to be talking about turning your hobbies into your full-time job. I think that this is going to be hopefully a good podcast for anyone who has thought about what it'd be to turn something that you enjoy into a full or part-time job, which it seems like there's a lot of these days.
Yeah. I think especially with people spending more time at home right now, it's kind of like, maybe I could do something productive extra because I can't go out of the house, you know?
Yeah, and obviously this worked out well for us. It's not an easy road, and it doesn't always turn out well.
But
But I
that's
think
kind of
that,
like starting a business in general. Today we're more talking about like pros and cons of starting a business based around your hobbies
yes.
rather than just pros and cons of starting your own business.
Because the pros for us certainly outweigh the cons,
Oh,
but we
yeah.
like we want to be honest with you guys too. There are some cons hidden in there. But I think before we get into that, I think it'd be fun if we did a what's new. We haven't done a what's new in a long time.
What's new with you, baby?
I wanted to say one thing, and I'm not that we're going to commit to this going forward, but I want to like make note of this moment. For the
Okay.
longest time, we are just focused on getting the company that we're doing right now running. Like Evan and Caitlin, we were focused on growing it, growing it.
Yes.
And then I don't know, maybe a year ago we started adding back in like evening time at the end for us. And this is interesting because like it kind of goes, I'm gonna touch on these later, like into the pros and cons, but
Not
like
less than a year ago, actually.
less than a year ago,
Yeah.
we started like reading
Reading.
and taking personal time off
I
in the
didn't start
evenings.
reading till this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
So
not in my life.
and we've finally gotten our life to the point where we've been able to add workouts back into our day. It's been
Yes.
really nice. I just kind of want to like take a moment to acknowledge the success.
Oh,
Don't know
I was
why I
gonna
always.
clap. You want a handshake, but a handshake is silence, not good for podcasting.
Okay.
Unless there's like a handshake noise. Like, what if it was really rustly and we were like,
We're just rubbing our hands.
that's a hand rub.
That sounds like we're like evil villains. Like, yes, we have started working out for those delicious gains.
For all the gains to get so swole.
So slow.
Yeah.
Also, it's also interesting that like this year we've been trying to like pull back on videos, but also like I just want to take a
Until
moment to
recently.
acknowledge that we did five. We're going to be doing, by the time this podcast has come out, we've done five videos in a row, and some of those have been cooking videos.
We haven't done five videos in a row in over a year.
Yeah. So it's crazy that like we've been able to get
Yeah.
kind of our life in order a little bit, and we've been able to add workouts back in, which is something we've been wanting to do for a long time. And we have five videos.
Yeah. And we're talking videos on the main channel. Like
Videos on the main
obviously on
channel, yeah.
gaming and uncut and all that. There's a bunch more.
Yeah, and
But
we've been able to like step up our live streaming game. Like we've been doing video games on the live stream for how many
Like a
years
year and a
now?
half?
Maybe 2 years?
No, because we started around Christmas, so it's not full 2 years yet. I think it's
Okay.
like between a year and a
Year and
half.
a half or so. Okay, year and a half. But now we've started adding in like we did a cooking live stream, we did an art live stream, and you know, we're enjoying the garage live streams enough that in the background, I've been researching how to like upgrade our garage setup a little bit more. I have a new, more powerful computer for out there, and that's in progress. So that's kind of what we've been up to somewhat behind the scenes, even
Yeah.
though you guys know some of it, like the five videos. But it's like the I like it's kind of hard to do the what's new section because so much of our life is work, which is
So
a
you guys
nice.
already know what's happening. Oh,
Yeah.
I have a what's new.
Oh, what's that? What's that?
Okay,
What's new?
so our speaking of the garage streams, our
Yeah.
most recent garage stream was we did a second attempt at the cheese. You know, after doing our DIY cheese video, I had it for a snack and it was tasty.
Oh yeah, it aged.
It aged well in the
well.
past few days.
Yeah. So it is kind of interesting. Like I want to do the what's new segment, but really all of our life, most of our life is work and is public, and we don't do much outside of that.
Well, most of the stuff that you guys would find interesting, you know, like there's stuff we do.
Like
oh, I mean, we hurricane prepped and then we didn't need to, luckily. Yeah,
and a lot of the work that we do isn't like publicly shown. Like Caitlin spends so much time editing. I spend a ton of time prepping. I've been working on like a spreadsheet of video games that might be fun to play. So there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but it just doesn't make for interesting things to share.
Yeah.
I don't know. The spreadsheet of games has been kind of cool.
We actually heard about that on a podcast.
Yeah.
So like maybe game spreadsheets is a good idea.
So I have like the active games we're playing, the to play with rankings and stars and like the types of like genre it is.
How
many hours it takes, and then like the evaluating column, and then like the pending release column. Yeah. Like Cyberpunk 2077 is in there with a 5-star rating of like pending release. I'm excited about that. You know? Yeah. Okay, enough nerd stuff. Let's get on to the main topic. All right, so turning hobbies into work. And let's like outline some of the hobbies that we have turned into work. Do you think that might be a good place to start?
I think the most obvious ones are things that videos are about. So that's like making, crafting, art. Then we added video games.
Yep.
Then we've kind of recently added cooking, although I don't know if you can really call cooking like a hobby per se, since you got to do it to live. But it is something we enjoy.
But I mean, there's like different levels of cooking. There's cooking to survive, and then there's cooking to enjoy the cooking.
Well, yeah, I do enjoy the cooking. So cooking.
Yeah.
And then there's like a few other things that aren't really hobbies, but they are things we did before turning them into work that we don't do now. So that's like social media.
Social media outside of work.
Personal social media.
Yeah.
Filming and editing little just for fun videos.
Yeah, and one that I thought of that like is a weird thing to think about. Like when both of us were working separate jobs, one of my favorite things to do was spend time with you. That's not really a hobby, but like it is something that we have monetized in a weird way.
That's so weird. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of the whole point of this. I mean, like all of the things we talked about, making, art, games, cooking, like those are what we are physically doing, and that's what the videos are about. But really, it's more about the two of us spending time together.
Yeah. It was the whole reason we started the channel.
Doing so
that is actually a pretty good example. So should we like talk about how some of these things have changed? Because I think they've changed in different ways.
How they've changed, and then maybe some pros and cons or something?
Of like, pros and cons of doing your hobbies for work, which I think that can kind of be broad.
I think that the biggest thing that has changed is how much of these things do we do outside of work?
Yes.
Because before they were our work, they were our hobbies. And now that they're our work, do we do them in any hobby capacity anymore?
Yeah. And the answer is not really.
For me, some.
Which ones do you do?
Gaming.
Oh, yeah. You do.
I do. But, I do game but, out.
But I will say.
Yeah.
Your gaming.
Caveat.
Is to test games that we are considering for the gaming channel.
Or sometimes, like, you know, for, like, you know, this is getting into the weeds of gaming, but, like, one of the games we were playing, Astroneer, involved a lot of prep. So, in the evenings, I'd sometimes play that.
To prep for the stream.
Which, like, made my gaming more meaningful in a way.
Well, focusing in on the gaming thing, because that is an interesting example because it is something that it's a hobby we had kind of both lost because we didn't have time for it. And so with that one, it's pretty much all pros for us in terms of turning that hobby into work. Because if we hadn't turned it into work, we just wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. And I think that that's something that you can kind of apply to anything. Like let's say fishing was your hobby, but you get so busy with life that you just don't like, you just can't muster up the like importance, the priority of fishing to like add that back into your life. But if you can make it mean something more by turning it into a job or like something that like adds to your life in other ways.
If you're then, like, oh, I'm going to, or I don't know if there's fish at farmer's market. Are there fish at farmer's markets? Okay, maybe. If you grow tomato, if you garden as a hobby, yeah. And you're like, man, I just don't have time for gardening anymore. But then you're like, ooh, there's a every Sunday farmer's market. I'm going to grow some tomatoes and sell my tomatoes. You know, it kind of like helps you remake it a priority because there's something that that hobby is leading to other than only your enjoyment of it. Yeah. And I know like your enjoyment should be enough, but as an adult, your priorities... Like your time is stretched thin often, so you can't do everything you would like to prioritize.
Well, but also, I mean, I think that this seems weird to say because it seems like such an old person to say, but I'm going to say it anyways. When I was younger,
a young boy,
I could just play video games.
Oh, same.
And that was a meaning unto itself. That was all I needed. It's like, I like playing video games. I'm going to play video games for hours.
Yep.
And as I got older, like, AKA when I started working a full-time job, that became harder. That became, how do you say this? It was harder to like...
To prioritize it.
Prioritize it. And I just remember there's a weekend that stands out into my mind a lot. Mm-hmm. I was single. I was working a job that paid well. It was fairly easy, satisfying. It was an engineering job. I was happy with it generally. And it was a weekend. And I had like the whole weekend open. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to play video games all weekend long.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. It's like young Evan.
Would young like, Evan. Oh.
Like think, oh, that's so cool. You have this super cozy couch. It has a recliner. You have money. You can go out and get takeout food and you can like do whatever you want.
You're an adult.
And it was a good game. It was a great game. Skyrim. Awesome game. It's like, especially it was like soon after it came out. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of a like, I'm not sure if it was groundbreaking, but it was great. Especially like, it's still good now, but like imagine it like however many years ago.
I get it.
Anyways. At the end of the weekend, I was like, what was the point of that? What did that do for my life? It took up my time, and I don't really have much to show for it. And that was a weird concept for me to struggle with, because shouldn't the enjoyment of it be
enough?
Enough?
Yeah. No, it is. It is weird.
Anyways, that was the start of my, like, not downward spiral of gaming in my life, but like, because that sounds too dramatic, but like, it was harder and harder to prioritize gaming.
And that was before we started the YouTube channel.
That was before we were dating.
That was before we were dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did play some games together. Well, I think, I mean, we're going deep in the rabbit hole of gaming, but I think
treat gaming for whatever hobbies you might enjoy, listener, you know.
I think it's also different, like if you're gaming as a social thing, like with other people, either in person or online, that's a little different than playing by yourself.
So
I think that's an example where it has only been positives adding it back to our lives. Even though we had to do it as work. And that's, you know, the reason we started the gaming channel is we wanted to play video games again, but we knew we could only do it if we could prioritize it because, you know, we were making commitments to people saying we'd be online and stuff like that.
And this is a point I didn't really mean to bring up right now, but I'll bring it up now just because, like, it seems relevant. And I might touch on it later with the other things, the other topics that we've made from hobbies into work. Mm-hmm. Doing that, the main pro is you get to do what you love. And eventually, once you have made it successful, you do get more freedom in a way. Because like when you're just grinding, there isn't as much freedom, because if you really want to make it a success, you just need to work, 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 work.
By it, you mean a business
around in a
which,
hobby.
Yeah, you've turned a hobby into a business.
Because like right now, I mean, like, I think how many years into this? 3 years?
Over 3.5.
Over 3.5 years into the Evan and Caitlin business, I really feel like we're getting some freedom. But for the longest time, we were kind of like tied into the job, and that was the number one priority. And though we did have some freedom and we were the ones getting ourselves into this, I didn't really feel like that huge of a sense of freedom, because we, you know, needed to make money, and we had commitments to brands, and we had a schedule, and we had all this to figure out, and we were kind of like tied into that in a way. But like, I think the things to keep in mind when you're saying, okay, so we were adding gaming, it was a hobby, now it's work, it has all this more meaning and stuff. But I think that one thing that we've done a pretty good job of is like trying not to lose sight of the reason why we're doing this is to do something that we love and not turn it into something that is an obligation. Like, for example, if there was a video game that was like trending and it was like going, like everyone was wanting to watch it, everyone was wanting to watch it, but it wasn't a game that you enjoyed. If you're only thinking about it from a work perspective, then you would play it.
Yeah.
And you'd capitalize on that. But if you weren't enjoying it, that's like losing sight of why you started doing it in the first place.
That's so true. That's such a good point. And like, we do often remind ourselves that we want to enjoy what we're doing, and that helps us from taking on too many responsibilities, or, you know, using the example you said, doing something just because it's trending, unless it's something we want to do anyway.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that is a really good thing to keep in mind.
And I think that the interesting thing is with the gaming, there are just more pros. One thing that's weird is with the making, crafting, art section, I think there are slightly more cons that I can touch on.
Touch away.
Okay, I think that the biggest thing is when you turn a hobby into work, the main complications is it adds pressure and expectations. You know, like, because before, if I was making a piece of artwork, sometimes it would be bad. It would just, I think I have like a piece of artwork up there in the closet.
Like a stack of Evan's reject art in the closet.
And like, when you're just doing things for a hobby, it doesn't matter if it performs well or if it turns out well or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I think the biggest example where this shows up in how it affects our lives is we are making videos that we want people to click on and watch. And the clickability in terms of the title and thumbnail really dictates what projects we take on in a fairly big way.
Especially in the last like year and a half.
Yeah, I think that...
I think in the beginning, when we... I mean, we didn't have as many skills in making. We didn't know how to do as many things. We kind of focused more on stuff we needed. So it was like, oh, we need a dust collection cart? We'll make a dust collection cart. And now I'm like, I wouldn't want to do a basic shop project. Not because there's anything wrong with it, but just because, like, for our type of videos, it's not the most intriguing thing to click on.
Yeah, or like... You know, one of the things that I'm really proud that we made with our hands is this beautiful walnut entryway table with finger joints. It's beautiful. I love it.
Me too.
I'm proud that we have made it. But it's not that clickable of an idea.
There is a video on it.
There's a video on that.
And the dust collection card.
Yeah. But like, it's weird to think back way back in the day of making that. And honestly... In terms of our enjoyment, I've really been enjoying the recent videos that are clickable, that have interesting thumbnails and titles.
In terms of our enjoyment, like filming them. We have so much filming fun them. When it is like a little bit crazier or a little bit goofier, or we get to do something for the first time. Like the video that will have just come out when this goes live is the Biverse DIY, where we do a mold of our hand.
That was fun.
Like, that was fun.
I was curious.
Yeah.
And like that's one thing that I like. You know, it's like part of... The reason why I like making and crafting is learning new skills, following rabbit holes of like, what would happen if we learned this skill or what have you? And we're still doing that. But it is weird that there are restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, if we weren't making videos around this, like if we had all the money we would ever need for our entire lives and all of that. Like, one thing I might do more of is 3D printing. Like, honestly, for me and the videos that we make, it would be hard for us to make lengthy, entertaining videos around 3D printing because you just
push the button.
Push the button.
It goes, you clean it up.
And there are great content around 3D printing, but it's usually around the 3D printers. It's around the technology, mm-hmm. the nozzles, the this and that, the whatever. But it's not around like the making using 3D printing. And we have done some where we combine 3D printing with woodworking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but it is hard for us to do a video that's only 3D printing.
Just because I like 3D printing and stuff. I'll do more designing and making of little doodads and gizmos and gadgets because that makes me happy in a weird makery way.
Yeah. So I will say, even though we are like perhaps more restricted in some ways because we want to do videos that will get clicked on. So that means some kind of practical around the house things mm-hmm. we just don't make. On the flip side, we are also opened up to more types of projects that we probably wouldn't ever do or get to try if we weren't doing it for a business. Mm-hmm. Like resin. Resin is like, it can be very expensive if you're doing something big. And like, I don't know if we could justify using, you know, $25, $50, $100, $200 worth of resin in a project if it was, you know, just like for our house.
Underwater stream.
Oh, the underwater stream. Yeah.
That cost thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars for us to do that. And there's no sponsor.
Yeah, no, we obviously like wouldn't have been able to justify doing that project, even though it was something we were so curious about and excited about. It's hard to justify it if you can't like justify it as a business expense. Yeah, you know?
And during the making of that, I felt the most like I really love the job that we're doing because I want to do this and I would never do this. I would never put so much time, effort, and money into this project if it wasn't our job.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like something about that like perfectly like encapsulates doing this right for us.
Yeah. Because I feel like typically when you hear people talk about turning a hobby into a job, it's often negative. I wonder, and I'm speaking about like, you know, most of who we've heard from have been YouTubers.
Yeah.
And I wonder if part of the reason for that is a lot of YouTubers that started before we did, oftentimes they started the channel itself just for fun or as a hobby or just to connect with people online or whatever. And then it became successful and then they're making money and they're like, oh, I guess this is a business now. By the time we started YouTube, it was very well known that it could be a business and we went into it hoping that it could be our job so that we didn't have to work our 9 to 5 so we could spend our time together doing something creative and having fun. And so I feel like our experience is very different than it might be for someone who, you know, again, I'm being kind of specific with channels, but whatever hobby your channel is around, like if they just started it just for fun.
This is an interesting thought that I had, and I was wondering where to bring it up, but I think this might be a good place. When you are younger or you, I don't know, like if you're working now and you have a boss, if you were about to do something yourself, and you were taking the initiative to do that, and then someone comes in, an authority figure, and they say, do that thing that you were just about to do. You were excited. You were about to do it. And then someone tells you to do it.
Kind of takes the wind out of your sails a little bit.
Right? Yeah. And I remember that feeling from like
parents, bosses.
Parents, bosses, any authority figure. It takes that initiative out of your hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a little bit of what happens when you were making videos all by yourself and you were doing it just for fun. And then all of a sudden it's your job and you have to do it in a way, or you feel like you have to do it. Then like, that's like in air quotes, your boss telling you to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That is interesting. So yeah, I'm sure that's part of it too.
Yeah, and I'm not fully sure how we have been able to avoid that effect.
Well, I think, again, because I think it's the same reason that I brought up, is we went into this hoping we could turn it into a job. Like, we were never under the impression that we would do it just for fun here and there. Like we
yeah, because it was a job all the way from the beginning.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah. We always knew it was a job.
Yeah, even like from the very beginning when we were working our full-time job still, we were still posting 3 to 4 videos a week. Every week we were editing them to like the highest quality we could, mm-hmm. you know. So
the audio.
I know, the audio was so bad, so bad. But we were doing the best we could with what we had and putting like full-time hours into it, even though, you know, we had our regular jobs still too. And so it was always at like a very fast and demanding pace.
Yeah.
We always felt an obligation to do it because we wanted to make it into a job.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that's changed since we've turned our hobbies into work is we do our hobbies a lot more.
A lot more.
Just like that's the biggest change overall. And since they are all things that we like, that's the biggest bonus because we're doing things that we like so much more. Mm-hmm. Have we done any of them? Oh, social media?
Okay. Well, social media is not a hobby, but it is something that before it was part of our job, we did do. We had personal like social media accounts.
Is it weird? And I'm not even sure if I should say this, but I'm just going to like put those words out there and Caitlin can help put them into like context.
Uh-oh. What are you about to say?
It's, and it might just be because we have to do social media all the time, but like I've kind of lost sight of why I would want to do social media.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
And that's weird for me to think of. Cause like we were early adopters of Facebook and
we were in the first batch of Facebookers.
Caitlin was like, oh, all about taking and sharing photos.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
She was like the documentary of the like, whatever group she was in. Documentarian?
Yeah. I don't know the proper word, but I was the one with the camera.
Yeah.
So any outing, any whatever, I would take all the pictures, post them all on Facebook, mm-hmm. tag everybody.
We both enjoyed it. We both loved social media.
Yeah.
And it's weird that now I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
I think that maybe that's the thing, because like, social media is like what happened to social media is what a lot of people worry happens when you turn your hobby into a job.
Yeah. Like I did used to get some enjoyment out of like, again, you know, this was a bit ago, but like choosing like fun filters for my Instagram photos with my friends and stuff like that, you know, like I did used to get enjoyment out of that. And I think in college when we were much more social with other people, like I did feel an incentive to share photos of hanging out with those people in a way that those people could see the photos.
Yeah.
This is a weird thing
because like we didn't actually plan to ask this question, but it's weird. So why has like making, crafting, art, games like stayed good and positive as we've turned them into work, but like the social media end of it has like become less enticing to us?
I think social media has evolved a lot. And I think like before we did it as work, me personally, like I didn't follow any like influencer accounts or like businesses at all. Like, I think I followed a couple artists online that I had found and liked, like from forever ago. But it was, other than that, it was just my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is like incentive sharing things with a small group of friends. But I feel like I have a more jaded view of social media overall because of like influencer culture and, you know, now we pretty much only follow businesses. And we follow cool businesses, but, you know, you still see so much more of it. And it feels more like bragging or like, oh, I'm on, like, I don't know. Like, when we're doing it for work, it's like, oh, here's a progress picture of something we're working on. Can't wait to share with you. But I feel like if I was doing it for a personal thing, I don't know how I would not feel like I was trying to, like, brag about something. And maybe that's because like it's so much more of a highlight reel now than it was before.
Yeah, because like on Facebook you just post like random photos, kind of more.
I would just, yeah, exactly. You know? Like, I would just post full albums of, like, whatever party we went to, you know? It wasn't, like, a curated...
Or, like, my trip to the zoo.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you didn't... You weren't, like... Things weren't curated as much back
in my day.
I know, but
youths posting their highlights.
Things did start getting more curated when Instagram came around, and it was like, oh, you can't post more than one Instagram photo a day because then you look like you're trying too hard. So it did kind of start evolving, started getting kind of annoyed with it then, even. You know?
That's interesting.
And started slowing down those, like, Instagram posts even back then. But it's hard to say exactly. I don't know.
Honestly, like... Of all of the things to, like, not really sour, but, like, become just work, I'm glad that it was social media instead of making art, gaming, cooking, filming, editing,
and maybe part creation. Of that is because, you know, we used to, I'd post on Instagram maybe once a week, and I pretty much stopped on Facebook once, like, I think it was, like, once I moved to Houston. Because then I stopped, like, having, like, big group outings where I would need to share photos with a bunch of people, because that's what I had used it for.
Yeah.
Sharing photos with large groups, like, large amounts of photos.
This is
I think, like, so the point I was getting at, though, is, like, even with, by the time we started the channel, I was maybe posting on Instagram once a week, and that was it. So it was very low. And then with this, because it's part of our jobs, we're posting every single day almost every single day on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we post on Reddit, like, it increased so much more than I naturally would have.
Yeah.
So now it's just my social media quota is overfilled.
Yeah, it's way over.
What I would ever want. Yeah.
That's interesting. Another potential is, when did you start art? When did you start doing art?
I started trying it more seriously when I was in, like, middle school.
But you did art when you were really young.
Yeah. But, like... I started, like, really trying in middle school.
When did you start playing games?
Much younger,
yeah. So gaming and art and kind of making...
They're much more ingrained in us.
Much more ingrained.
And part of our identities.
Yeah, almost 30 years for some of these things, you know? And social media has only been part of our lives for, like...
Since however long Facebook came out.
Yeah. But, like, really, we were doing it personally for not that long.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 8 years?
I don't know, something like that. Yeah.
Like, because I really started using it first year of college.
Yeah, same.
So that's 4 years. And then we started our Evan and Caitlin job. How long after?
I mean, it doesn't really matter. But
yeah, we did the making, crafting, gaming. That's been part of our identity, our internal identity for so long. Whereas social media wasn't ever really part of our internal identity.
No.
It was just like a thing that we did every now and then.
Yeah, because our friends did it.
Yeah. But the weird thing... Okay, no. I'm getting off the rails. I'm kind of like ruining the focus of the podcast.
Go.
The thing that has been a core part of our identity is sharing what we made. And that's been something that we've loved for the long time and still continues to this day. We get so excited during launch day. We get so excited about, like, sharing what we've made.
That's true. Well, and to go back a little bit, because people might not know what you're talking about. We've probably mentioned this here or there, either podcast or stream or I don't know. But did you spill tea?
Yeah, that's okay. I'll clean it up later.
Okay. but... You guys know that before YouTube, we started a, like, just for fun kind of blog where we were sharing progress on our house. Before that, Evan had a blog where he shared games. I had a blog.
And funny memes.
I had a blog where I was, like, documenting my Halloween decorations for my apartment.
And before that, we both had art sharing accounts various websites.
Yeah, we both shared our art online, which I've been doing since I was, like, 14.
Yeah.
Like, so... sharing things online has been something both of us enjoyed long before.
Could that be considered a hobby?
I think it's like an extension of a hobby.
Yeah.
I don't think sharing things online itself is a hobby, but I feel like it's like...
an aspect to all of the hobbies that we do.
Yeah.
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 It's like flavoring on top of all of them.
Yeah. And so that is something that we have extended. And we didn't really think about it when we decided to start a YouTube channel. I don't think we even made the connection until like a year ago or so, like pretty recently. And we were like, oh, it makes sense why we enjoy this so much. Because we used to share stuff online all the time.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed that, even though we were both, you know, doing it in a not anonymous way. We had like our usernames, but it wasn't like tied to us personally as much as something like YouTube is.
Another thing that I want to touch on is when things were just a hobby, I already kind of touched on that one gaming experience that I had where I played games all day and then I questioned my life afterwards. But like now that there are work and our hobbies, how do you feel after we finish spending our time doing that thing?
I feel great.
Me too.
I feel like I often have the thought of like, dang, we just got to play video games for 3 hours and that was our job. Or like, dang, we just got to like
cook.
We just got to make ourselves dinner and that was our job.
We like made dinner in our garage.
And that was our job.
In our set. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think that's a huge difference.
It makes
like,
me very happy.
Like, since we've turned our hobbies into work, after we finish doing that activity, I feel good. Like, that was time well spent. It gives more meaning to that time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just something that's important to weird people like us.
Maybe.
Because we like spending our time really efficiently, and we want our time to mean something.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not the same for everyone. But for us, it is.
Yeah.
And I think that like a lot of what we said like has been like selling the idea of like turn your hobbies into work and feel guilty if you're not doing it. No, don't. If you like doing hobbies and you're just happy just doing them as a hobby, keep it that way. I think that I just wanted to share our honest experience with all of this.
As people who had kind of like lost time for their hobbies.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And this is our way of bringing it back.
Yeah, because there's tons of people who have jobs that they like and hobbies that they like, and they're glad that they're separate.
Yeah.
But
it's definitely not for everybody.
We're not those people. We like
mixing them. And that's one reason we wanted to talk about this, because again, I feel like usually what you hear is like, oh, don't like be careful turning your hobbies into work, you know, because then it becomes work and you lose the enjoyment. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other things, like some of the other stuff we touched on. I don't think there's as much on the specific things. Like, we did used to film and edit some little just for fun videos, and we don't really do that anymore. But that was a very, very small thing we would do for, like, vacations.
Yeah, we'd try to take, like, a second every day, and, like, at the end of the year, I'd try to, like, edit them together into, like, just flashes of life blowing past you to, like, make you remember what you did with your life.
But I think one reason I feel less motivated to even though I would like to do that, one reason I feel less motivated to is our life is so documented in video form already.
Also, like, it goes back to what I was saying with the what's new. In the beginning, it's like, we haven't done the what's new segment of the podcast for so long, because what's new?
It's all documented.
We made all these videos. And lived our life in between them, just doing life stuff, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting is, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this too.
Yeah.
Before we turned our hobbies into work, so we talked about how we felt after them. Mm-hmm. How do you feel before doing them, thinking about doing it? Like, are you excited to do them more or less?
I will say sometimes it depends on the mood I'm in, but it's not really because the thing is a hobby.
Yeah.
So, like, there are some times where, like, if we're, you know, usually if we are like really tired or just kind of out of it, we have enough flexibility in our day that we don't have to film on those days or we don't have to stream on those days. But back when our days were more packed and we couldn't just not film in a day, you know, there have been times where like we'd be super tired because we were up really late the night before and it's like, oh, I gotta be energetic now going into this thing. And if we weren't filming it for a video, then I could do it without being energetic.
Yeah.
You know?
Or we just probably wouldn't do it.
Or you just wouldn't do it. But then it goes back to just not doing it.
Yeah.
That's really the closest thing I can think of that is a negative.
Yeah. So sometimes if we had no time pressure on it, well, but yeah, I think it goes back to the thing is like, we just wouldn't do these things as much. But we just do them because we kind of, that is our job. And most of the time we're very excited about it.
Yeah.
It's just when we're really tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think that like one reason why I am excited to do them is because we're doing something fairly fun for work.
Yeah.
And the novelty and the coolness of that makes me pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
As a bonus on top of something that was already a hobby.
And maybe it depends on like, maybe it depends on why you did your hobbies before. Like if, you know, maybe if the whole point of you doing art was to have like quiet time and that's the reason you did it. That's a very different reason than like a big part of my reason for doing art is because I liked to share it online. And I was like, ooh, I hope I get some comments on this one. You know what I mean?
How about a couple thousand?
If like art was your escape and that was that was how you quieted your mind. And then all of a sudden you have to be energetic and on for the camera. Then I can see how you might build up some resentment.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting thing. Because like one thing I like doing is playing games with friends.
And when we game, it feels like playing games with friends.
Thousands of friends.
With each other. But yeah. But like having chat with us feels like we're playing with a big group.
Yeah.
Like hanging out in the living room.
Yeah.
It's a similar vibe. Whereas like if you preferred games, you know, I guess like a lot of games I played were more solo games. So I'm slightly different. But, you know, if games were like your chill, quiet, wind down time, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have to talk the whole time I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see how that would make you enjoy them less.
Yeah.
So yeah, so maybe part of it's like how you enjoyed those hobbies.
Yeah.
And do you have to do them in a different, in a way that is not compatible with how you used to enjoy them?
What's the biggest surprise that you've had about turning hobbies into work that you just didn't see coming? Or you thought it'd go a different way?
Biggest surprise.
If you want some more time, I can go first, I think.
Okay, you go first.
I wanted to give you the room, just in case.
Okay, no, you go.
The biggest surprise for me, and I think I knew it to a certain degree, I was just surprised by how much. There's the saying that I completely disagree with now, but it's something that everyone has heard, and I heard a lot growing up, and I think it's a complete lie, even though it's... I was about to say it. Do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life. I very much disagree with that. And the level of that I disagree with it was surprising. Because what it is more is do what you love for work, and you'll always be working, but you'll like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's good and bad.
Yeah.
I mean...
There's definitely less motivation to take breaks, even when it might be healthy for us, because it's like, we really want to do something that is work-related. Streaming is a really good example.
Yeah.
Like we are often tempted to stream more, but we're like, but if we stream, then we're going to be up, we're going to have to stay up really late editing, and we don't want to be up really late editing, so we need to, like, wait till tomorrow to stream. You know, that's a very simplified example, but
it's like we have too many good things in our life that we want to do.
Yeah.
And we just prioritize a lot of the work things. And we've been trying to pull back on work so that we have more time, not work, but it's also hard because
it's really hard to pull back.
We're doing what we like for our job. We're getting paid for it. We're finding success at it all. And it's hard to stop doing that.
It's really hard.
And that, well, something I didn't see coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily all bad.
No, I mean, I think it's like a good problem to have. Like, oh, I like my work so much that I have a hard time stopping working. And like, honestly, right now, everyone's kind of stuck at home anyway. And so like, we aren't facing it, like the issue of it quite as much.
I think this is another hard thing to communicate. The nuance of this. Some people might think, well, then you're not working. You're doing what you like. But it's still work.
It's still work, yeah.
And that's a hard thing to communicate unless I think you've done it, maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure if I have the words and the insight and the nuance. Like, I'm wearing my Words Are Hard shirt right now. For those of you who are just listening, I'm wearing this because I very much agree that words are hard. And it's hard to in a nuanced way, explain why it still work, but it's work that we like.
Yeah. I think it's because, like if someone was like, oh, well, you're just, you know, you're just playing with resin and playing video games all day. That's not work. That kind of discounts all the other stuff that happens around it, or like the way in which we do it, that like that we do specifically because it's work.
Yeah. How about this? Like,
I don't know.
I'm about to come up with, like, and this is dangerous territory for me. I'm going to use a sports analogy. Uh-oh. Guess who knows nothing about sports? Me. Sports, I know nothing about sports. Imagine you love playing basketball and you're really good at it. And you just like playing basketball and you just do it whenever you want. You do it with whoever you want and you have no commitments around it. But all of a sudden you decide to go pro and you start like working at like the little, like whatever, like minor league basketball there is. And you start, like, your goal is NBA or whatever. And all of a sudden you're still playing basketball, but you have to travel. You have to start your social media accounts and you have to like do public relations and you have to, you know, you have to train and you have a schedule and you have a coach telling you what to do and you're no longer playing with whoever you want. You get transferred and you lose the team members that you like. And this is
going like much farther down. It's
kind of breaking down
the rabbit hole than our example.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have the right analogy for this.
I think it's hard because, like, some of the stuff, you know, there's obviously, like, back-end stuff that we wouldn't choose to do, like emailing people and things like that, you know, stuff that is truly more of the work side of it.
All the business stuff.
All the business stuff. But, you know, sometimes we will have a day where, like, our entire day is filming and streaming, like none of the business stuff. And so taking the business stuff out of it, why still work? Because it does still feel like work. And part of it might be because there are things you're doing differently. Like, it's like we're doing this resin pour that we enjoy, but at the same time, you're keeping track of like what the next five steps are so that we don't miss something. I'm keeping track of how long have we been talking about this. Ooh, we need to switch camera angles. And like, there's other things we're keeping track of in our heads. So we're not only doing the resin pour. We're also like doing all these other things.
I came up with a weird thought.
Okay. Is it another sports analogy?
No. This is about just what we do.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm trying to get my words right. But like, I think one of the things is our results are judged. You know, like we are trying to come up with a specific thing. Like the reason why it's work is because when we're making it, we do multiple takes if we don't get the intro right. Mm-hmm. We go back and get B-roll. We're not just out there making in real time. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that we do. Like while we're making out there, it's like up. Get the cameras turned on, put on the mic.
Oh, I don't know if we got that intro. Should we edit it real quick?
Should we edit it real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, and in the end, we want to come up with a good video. Mm-hmm. And I think that we like, this is weird to say, but I think we like being judged.
Because that's how you win.
Because that's how you win.
Yeah.
You know, but like, it's also weird. I think one reason, like, and I'm just being honest here, one reason why we like it is because we're winning.
Yeah. AKA, like, the business is successful.
The business is successful.
Yeah.
Honestly, and that's why people burn out. If our channel was dying, if our videos were doing well, if we were getting people coming into our channel saying, like, you, like, watching you do this makes me upset. I don't know. Like, if we weren't winning at least an acceptable degree, not that, like, our subscribers have to be shooting out, not that, like, all of our metrics have to be green, green, green.
But just like we're getting positive feedback. The videos are performing at a rate that we see as being good. And there's an overall upward trend.
Yeah, honestly, I'm just being...
No, I think if like... Yeah. It was opposite of that. If there was a downward trend, if the all like videos over and over and over again weren't performing how we liked,
I wouldn't be motivated to do this.
Yeah, we wouldn't be motivated because it is a lot of work.
Yeah, then it would really feel like a job.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, we just got to keep on doing this even though people don't like it.
Yeah, but you're totally right. There is that like constant pressure to do well that is in your brain. Every time you're filming or streaming, like,
and maybe that's what makes it kind of like work. And so, and
going back to the stakes.
Going back to the basketball analogy,
okay.
If you win the game versus lose it, if you're playing professionally, there's stakes.
There's stakes,
and that's why you're playing it professionally. Versus if you're just playing a pickup game,
But I think there being stakes is part of it.
Yeah, that's what makes it good, and that's what makes it work, and that's what makes it bad potentially.
Yeah. Although there's pressure for it to not be bad.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't considered that. Is there any more stuff about like doing hobbies as your work that you want to cover?
I don't know. I went off on a whole bunch of tangents, but I think I'm ready to move on. Like if you guys have any follow-up questions for us, leave them in the comments or use the podcast form. We're collecting like questions and answers type questions and everything for a future podcast always. So we'll keep an eye on those and everything. But I think that we covered it pretty well.
Yeah.
I think we covered it even more than I thought because I had like insights as we spoke on this.
Yeah. Should we move on to our thing of the week?
No. I have more questions.
Oh.
Two more questions.
Okay. So you weren't done. I thought you said you were done.
Well, no, just with that segment of it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry.
So what else might we want to turn into work so that we can make more of it? Like, have you ever thought like, okay, you know, gaming's worked out, cooking has worked out, making crafting art has worked out. What's another thing that we could add to like do more of that we can justify by making it work? I have one thing.
Okay.
So I'll go first since I'm just hitting you with this fresh.
Okay.
Technology. I don't know what to do with it. But I love technology. I like buying it. I like researching it. I like testing it. I like comparing it, all that stuff. And I've thought in the past, like maybe I'll do like an unboxing, a tech channel, a review channel. But I don't want to do that. I don't know.
That's an interesting example because if we zoomed out the camera right now, you would see a huge amount of technology. Oh, Evan's going to do it. Expose us. Oh, the green screen exposed. You will see a huge amount of technology around us.
Sorry, listeners.
That has been accumulated over the past, this is just like a year and a half since we started streaming and podcasting.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're often upgrading camera-related stuff, lighting-related stuff, sound-related stuff. And so I think you've been able to scratch that itch in some ways.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do need lots of technology for what we do.
I've even been able to incorporate into some videos, like 3D printing kind of scratched that itch because I'm like getting 3D printers and messing with 3D printers. Or like when we did the underwater stream, I got to mess with a lot of fun technology there. And that was very satisfying to me.
Mm-hmm. You've gotten to learn a lot about like programming custom LEDs and stuff like that. Yeah,
but like I'm not sure if I'd be excited to film a review video.
Yeah. Just
because like that would need to serve a certain purpose. I'd have to make graphics and lists and list specs and stuff like that.
Do like comparisons
maybe maybe just unboxing and first impressions and just playing with it. Nothing formal as a review. Just like, ooh, look at this. Look at this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or like tech roundups.
And is it?
But I'm not even sure if I'd be excited. Like tech roundups.
So what's the hobby in this case? Is it just buying technology? Is the hobby buying technology if all you're doing is unboxing? Because it's not like unboxing technology.
I kind of like buying technology.
You heard it here. He admits it.
I like buying technology.
I know this about you. I knew this when I married you.
I have that little tiny computer over there. I have another tiny computer on the way. Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just my hobby is buying and messing with technology.
So let's see. If I if I was gonna do anything, like if I think about the stuff that I might want to try making into content, it's not necessarily hobbies I have. It's stuff that I think would, well, it's a mixture of things. So some things are stuff that I think would be fun, but we wouldn't do it without the excuse of it being a video.
Like, I do your makeup?
Yeah, like Evan, like my boyfriend does my makeup. Well, you're my husband, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I just, like, I enjoy watching those videos when it's like a couple that I like their personalities.
But like, in a way, that is like strangely like a hobby that you have. Like
I
that is
put on makeup. Not that today.
Is that is like the two of us spending time together. That's something we enjoy. You know, that's what we like using our time on and making videos.
Yeah, that's true. And like, if I'm gonna go even farther down that rabbit hole, like the stuff I would really enjoy is because I'm like I'm very into Halloween. And so I've gone down some real deep rabbit holes with like super cool Halloween makeup or like, you know, like when we did like our skeleton makeup.
Oh, skeleton makeup was
things
cool.
Things like that, where it's like a little bit more like art. And I think that would be just really fun to do. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff.
Right, maybe we'll find in the long-term future. I think right now I'm happy. Where we're at.
This is all hypothetical.
Yeah. Hypothetical,
This is all hypothetical. So, like,
but that's
an example of something I would like to do. But it's not really a hobby. I would just like it to be a hobby. It seems fun.
All right. One last question on this, and then time for thing of the week. I don't know this. I'm going to read it right now. Will we continue to enjoy the hobbies we've chosen for the rest of our career?
I mean, I think making things, art, and video games have been, like we said in the beginning, those have all been things we've enjoyed for a long time.
Yeah.
Technically, for me, making things has been the most recent. I didn't really get into it till I got my first apartment and I wanted to start making decor for myself.
Yeah.
Art and gaming have been, like, for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. And we can always add art into making to, like, satisfy that part.
Yeah.
But I feel pretty confident with, like, the array we've chosen. And I think that one thing, and this might be, like, a more applicable tip to people who are thinking about doing this, how do you add that variety to whatever hobby you're doing to make it something that'll last that long? Because for us, from the beginning, we wanted diversity. Mm-hmm. We wanted, like, even when we were just making, we did, like, you know, woodworking, metalworking a little bit, like all these different things. We didn't just do one thing. And then we added in like resin and cheese and art and like, you know, like all these things and the gaming and there's variety and there's spice. Yeah. And like when we've done one thing for a while, I'm excited to do the other. And there's like that. But I do think that if we had have chosen one thing and like let's say that we loved collecting pens or just making pens and we made a pen making channel and it got pretty successful. I just tried to choose a very, very specific thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you could do that for 20 years, 50 years. I don't know how long we're going to work.
Yeah. I mean, I think like an interesting, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about the variety in our channel and how like for the first year and a half of our channel, you know how like if you're describing a channel to someone, it's like, oh, this is Evan and Caitlin. They do this. Like we noticed oftentimes every time we would do a collaboration with someone and they would like pitch our channel to their viewers or if we were like at events and people were like, oh, you guys are Evan and Caitlin, you do these videos, right? It was always CNC.
CNC first.
Yep. It was like, oh, you guys do CNC videos.
And then resin.
Well, then resin came later.
Yeah.
But my point is like, you know, we were doing a lot of CNC videos in the beginning of our YouTube career because we had a CNC and it was something like not tons of people had back then. A lot of more people have them now. And so it was like, oh, it's like they make stuff on the CNC and things like that. And now I don't think you would describe our channel in that way. You might call us the resin channel because that's like the kick we're on right now. But we've left things open enough that we can for a little bit be the CNC channel. We can for a little bit be the resin art channel. Yeah. We can for a little bit be whatever the new trend we fall down on. That's not the right way to say what I'm trying
words.
To say.
Great words.
Great words. But yeah, so we have left it. We set it up so it was pretty open for us.
So it's future proof.
I think it's pretty future proof.
On that note, it's time for Thing of the Week.
Okay. So my Thing of the Week is food related. Okay. Ooh, so
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Honestly, I want some right now.
So, you know, I don't have that many like treat yourself splurges really. And if I think about the ones that I do have, they are often something that I eat. And one of those things is Hava chips.
Mm.
So we both were first introduced to Hava chips.
Sorry. That was my excitement voice.
We were both first introduced to Hava chips because we both had lived in California at different points in our lives. And they're pretty big over there. You can just find them in the grocery store. I think here you can maybe, in Texas, you can maybe find them at like specialty
food like places. Whole Foods and stuff like fancy that. Places.
But you can't get them at like HEB, which is where we typically go. But you can order them online. In what, like a 24 pack?
It's a lot. It's like if you're going to be ordering them from Amazon, you're taking a big leap of faith from our recommendation. But yeah, like,
I would say we'll link to the Amazon listing because that's where we buy them.
See if you can find them in like a single pack first.
See if you can find a single pack to try them out because they are different from any other tortilla chip. Oh, these are tortilla chips, by the way. They're not like potato chips, they're tortilla chips, but they're cooked with soy sauce.
Not too much.
No, just a hint. Just a hint.
Just a
but
hint.
It gives them like just this very interesting.
And I even say there's something else going flavor. On. There's
they
have, something.
They got like a real good corn taste.
Real good corn. Real like they're so. But
I think the unique thing is like that hint of soy sauce.
They're the only corn chip that I can eat just as like almost a snack. But sometimes I'll just go out and like have like four chips.
But yet they also don't overpower salsas or guac. Because there's some things like Julio's chips are really good, but there's so much seasoning. Sometimes it kind of overpowers
Julio's,
the
you just
salsa.
Eat all by themselves.
Exactly.
Okay, so for those of you guys who don't live in Texas, Julio's are highly salty.
Super salty.
Super flavored tortilla chips.
that are delicious. Living in Texas where there's so many tortilla chip
there's
options.
There's so many tortilla chip options, y'all, in Texas.
I do get sad when we visit
so many tortilla chip options.
Any other state.
Oh, so good.
California's got... So good.
Pretty good.
Anyways, we're getting off topic, but Hava chips, so good. And then we buy a 24 pack on Amazon. It's kind of expensive, so you know, buy at your own risk. But they're so freaking good.
Have apostrophe a corn chips. Have we call them Hava, but they're have a. I don't know.
Why do we call them Hava? I've always heard them called Hava ever since they were first introduced to me.
Well, because I call them Hava chips. No, but my mom called them Hava chips.
But I had them before you too.
Really?
Yeah, I had them before.
Well, I'm pretty sure that like they're called Hava chips because my mom grew up near the original Hava chips, like the original place where they were made. Mm-hmm. Like it was a single store.
So your mom
in Laguna Beach, and she grew up there, and like that's where they came from.
Yeah,
so she talked to the people who worked at the original Hava chips
that's so crazy.
Factory, or I don't know what it was.
it was just like a little store.
So tasty. Yeah. Okay, anyways, let's stop talking about food so that everyone can stop drooling. My thing of the week is a Kickstarter project that we backed, and it's finally here. It's so beautiful. It's Simone's Everyday Calendar. It is a
so good. Shout out to Simone.
She did such a good job with this. The quality, the CNC-ness, the electronics. Anyways, let's describe what it is for people who might not have seen it. It is a habit tracker, and it's basically a calendar with lights behind every day. And every day you do something, you tap it, and that day lights up. So that eventually, over a year, hopefully you fill the entire calendar with
whatever good habit, whatever with lights habit. Representing whatever good habit you're trying
to
do.
So tying it back to the very beginning, we're probably going to be using it to track our workouts so that every day we work out, we touch the calendar, and it glows nicely.
And but we have to both do it, so it's incentive for both of us to do it.
Otherwise, it's dim. Otherwise, it'll stay dim for a year.
That would be sad.
And I'm just really impressed by the outer board of it is like a circuit board, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's like you're touching the contacts of a circuit board. And it's not a stylized, it's function.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But I mean, like, it's like, you know, when you picture a circuit board, you're not going to picture what this looks like.
It's really, the front is really well designed, so well thought out. And the bamboo is like, it's like CNC'd bamboo plywood. And that just is an awesome material. Looks really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm just really happy with it.
Yeah.
It's one of the first Kickstarter. I think, is that the first Kickstarter we personally ever backed?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is cool. Yeah. Plus, you know, want to support a friend.
She went through a lot of like trials and tribulations with like supply chains and, you know, the pandemic going on.
She's got some videos on her channel that documented that are pretty interesting too. It's pretty cool. If you want to see behind the scenes.
It's pretty cool. But we have it. It looks really cool. I'm excited to get using it. So that's my thing of the week.
Me too.
All right, guys. Well, this was a little bit longer of a podcast than I thought.
We had a lot to say.
We had the card games ready to go just in case we ran out of like things to say. But we certainly don't need that. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, let us know if you have any questions down in the comments below. Also, if you wouldn't mind like leaving a, you know, 5-star rating, perhaps. We're on whatever podcast app you're using, if it allows rating. I think that like I want to pull this like long-term prank on just people. I want random people to find this podcast and be confused.
Yep, because they don't know who we are. There's no incentive to listen.
Prank random people out there. I just like the idea of that. Kind of just makes me happy.
Yeah, me too. I feel like we're trolling random people browsing for podcasts.
Anyways, I hope you're having a great day out there, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the next video. Bye!
Well, that was good.
Yeah, that was really fun.